Thank you, Stephen. Thank each one of you for being here and being a part of our time together as we've been able to bring these needs to one another and then before the Lord, and we'll continue to do that. Winter is the warmest season. Came across that children's book by Lauren Stringer. Starts out like this. Did you know that of all the seasons in the year, winter is the warmest? Most people think it's summer with its long, steamy days, but not me. My world is warmest in winter. When winter comes, my jacket puffs warm with feathers. My hat grows ear flaps, my pants hide deep in fuzzy boots, and my hands wear warm, woolly sweaters. When winter comes, summer's plants and animals sleep deep under thick blankets of snow, while the snowmen I build dance on top, wearing warm wraparound scarves. That's all I'll read because that's all the free Google or the only on Amazon. That was as far as it let me read for free. So, but Lauren Stringer was inspired to write that back in 2006 when her then 6-year-old son said one hot summer day, "Mom, the warmest season is winter because in winter we wear warm clothes, drink hot chocolate, and sit by burning fires." It says in the book that Lauren and her family live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where it is very warm all winter. I don't know about you, I'm not a big fan of winter, but I know it's an annual occurrence, and it's going to be throughout my lifetime. In Genesis 8:22, when the Lord smelled a soothing aroma from Noah's post-flood burnt offerings, he said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." Of course, our experience of summer is impacted by where we lived, maybe what we were accustomed to and became accustomed to growing up, and also where we live. Winter is different in Miami than it is in Minneapolis. Sunday morning at the door as folks were leaving, a friend of mine who's been coming some at 11 o'clock, Andy Settlemyer, a fellow I graduated high school with, some of you may have met him, I'd encourage you to if you have not, was there at the door, and another fellow came by who I'd also encourage you to meet, Chad Odegaard, who's been coming, bringing his two little daughters and also his father who uses a walker, and as they went by, I was saying something to Andy about the weather, and then I saw Chad come by, and I said, "Now this guy knows about cold weather." And Chad told us standing there that one time he took his wife, and at that time they just had one daughter, took them back to North Dakota where he grew up for 2 weeks near Christmas. The high while they were there was minus 17. So winter. What about winter in the Bible? Well, there's about a dozen direct references to winter, and I just want us to look at one of those tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the context, as you likely know, was Paul imprisoned in Rome. He knows it's very near the end of his earthly life, and he's writing this letter to Timothy, a younger man whom he has mentored and possibly even led to the Lord initially. It's a letter filled with doctrine and exhortation and encouragement and warning. And he ends with some very, what we might call mundane, practical notes and comments, including one challenging Timothy. Well, let's just read it. Look at verse 21 in chapter 4, and we'll just read the first part of the verse. 2 Timothy 4:21. "Do your utmost to come before winter." Do your utmost to come before winter. I thought it was interesting that the Greek word for winter, that is translated winter, literally means stormy weather. It's the word in the Greek that is translated winter. And sometimes in the New Testament, it's actually translated as a tempest or a storm, but more often winter. And so Paul's exhortation here to Timothy was to do his utmost, to, to be diligent, some translations say. Others, to do his best. We think about being diligent, you have that dual mindset of speed. There's the idea of haste, of quickness, and there also is the idea of exertion, of really being energetic about something. So he's telling him, quickly, with energy, I want you to come to me before winter. Paul's in prison, and he says, Timothy, I want you to do your very best to come to me before winter. I'd like to make some application to us in this winter season. The winter season is a stormy season. There could be a snowstorm. We've had a big one of those already. It could be ice, like some experienced this past weekend, to a greater degree than others of us. But as I think about the winter of life, some would say, well, that's the end of life, and in one sense, that's true. But when I think of the winter as a stormy season, I think of times in our lives that are increasingly difficult. Periods of trial and testing, struggle or heartache, discouragement, loss, defeat, temptation, that are beyond the normal difficulties and challenges and struggles of life. I was listening to a song the other day, and the singer was talking about life, and he was singing to his son who was still young but would one day grow up, and he said, life is not long, but it's hard. You know, God tells us that life is brief. It's like a vapor. And he also tells us it's going to be a challenge, particularly for those who know the Lord Jesus. Through much tribulation, we will enter into the kingdom of God. And so what I'd like for us to think about tonight is to imagine ourselves, and you don't have to really imagine because this is reality, but just imagine that there's someone who is saying to you, do your utmost to come to me before winter. Now, we could imagine that was Paul 2,000 years ago, and he's telling us literally to come to him before winter. But, you know, there are a lot of people. There are people in this room, people in this assembly, people in your home, people in your neighborhood, people in your workplace, in your school setting, people in your world, who may not say it verbally, but they are saying, do your best to come to me before winter, before the stormy season hits. And so I want to just look at that from two perspectives from which we would like to consider the importance of being diligent to come to people in need before winter. Two reasons, I'll say, that come out of this thought of Paul asking Timothy to come to him before winter. First of all, we need to come before winter because people have specific needs in winter. Look up here in our chapter. Look up at verse 13. Here's what he says to Timothy before he asks him to come before winter. Verse 13, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. Timothy, when you come, make sure that you bring the cloak. This word cloak is the only time it's used in the New Testament. The thought there is of an outer garment, particularly something that would be used in traveling. So possibly at the time that Paul was there in Carpus and left that, in Troas and left the cloak there with Carpus. Maybe it was warm and he didn't think he was going to need the cloak and he didn't want to be hindered, so he just left it there. But you can see that winter being a colder time of year, even there in Rome, maybe not quite as cold as we are here, but still seasonably cooler for them than they would be accustomed to. And they're likely in a cold, dark dungeon. Paul would appreciate that protection against the weather. You know, it was very different from his first imprisonment. We read in Acts 28:30 that his first imprisonment in Rome was in a rented house. But this final incarceration, as I said, was presumably in a cold and damp dungeon. Now, some of us have the privilege of going into the Guilford County Jail once a month and going into the pods and meeting with the inmates there. I hope I'm never in jail for any other reason than to go to visit to share the gospel. Maybe one day I'll be in jail because I am sharing the gospel. But you know what? If I end up in the Guilford County Jail, I can promise you I'm going to be way, way, way better than Paul was in that Roman dungeon. It's not fun to be incarcerated. I don't care wherever you are, unless you're Otis, and then he wanted to be incarcerated. It gave him a warm place to stay and a meal, I guess. So, but in general, you don't want to be incarcerated, but the conditions of the Guilford County Jail are much to be desired above what Paul was experiencing. And if Timothy didn't arrive with the cloak before winter, Paul would suffer the hardships of winter. It will be colder because they didn't provide him with a blanket. They didn't provide him with warm clothes. Though someone else had to provide that for him if he was going to have it. You know, as I said earlier, winter, the stormy times of life, are more difficult than the normal stresses and challenges of life. And if we don't get to those people who are in need, before it hits them, they're going to suffer more than necessary. Or what if Timothy had gotten there during the winter? Well, at least for the rest of the winter, Paul could have had his cloak. But wouldn't it have been much better if Paul had the cloak before the winter began? What might someone need from you and me before the winter storms in their lives begin? I would suggest they need a word. They need, first of all, I would encourage you to be ready to take a word from God, from the Word of God. From our own time in the Scriptures, we should have a word from God that we can present to someone who may be on the cusp of going through a stormy time. A word from God. Maybe they would need for me to bring them a word of prayer. I thought about that, as I said, and I'd never thought about it before, but we often say, we ask our brother to bring a word of prayer. I thought, why do we say a word of prayer? I looked that up, you know, and it's not really known, but it's not just something we say here. But I thought, well, it's practical for this, because sometimes when people are getting ready to go through a stormy time, they don't necessarily need a lengthy prayer. They might just need a word of prayer. And maybe they need us to come alongside them before they go through the deepest, darkest part and to be there with them and just pray for them. And pray with them and pray over them. A word of prayer. Maybe they need a word of encouragement or a word of counsel. Maybe a word of wisdom. It could even be that they need a word of gracious correction. Maybe they need a word of hope from you. Maybe they need a word of kindness, a word of cheer, or maybe a word of testimony about how the Lord is faithful and has been faithful to you and your life, and you can share some of your story with that person before they go into the winter. Maybe they need a word of action. Maybe they need you to be a verb, to be an action person. Maybe they need me to come alongside them, and maybe I don't need so much to say a particular thing as they need me to do something for them. Maybe there's a practical need that I can be involved in their lives to help them be ready and prepared for the storm that's going to come for the winter. Maybe they need a word of silence. You know, we communicate with words, don't we? Sometimes your word can be a silent word. You know, For those in the deaf community, we had Ernie and Karen Richards here with us not too long ago. They minister in the deaf community in the Lynchburg area and beyond. But you know, for a person who can't hear, every word is silent, isn't it? They do actions. They show through their motions. Or, you know, we can do the same thing, can't we? We can show what we want to communicate through a word of silence. Just being with someone. Just being with them. What an opportunity for us to provide help and tools in advance. Not that we're not going to be there when the storm gets there. But you see, Timothy, if he made it before winter, guess what? He was going to be there in winter. But how much better that he got to Paul, I hope, that he got there with the cloak before the winter hit and helped Paul be ready in advance. And we can do that. There are people in our lives and they're crying out, though they're not saying it with the words, they're saying, please be diligent to come to me before the winter. They might not even know the winter's coming. They may not know how bad it's going to be. What specific needs are you prepared to meet for people in the stormy times of life? Based on your answer to that question, let me ask another question. What specific needs should we be getting prepared to meet? Should we be ready with a word from God? Yes, we should. Should we be ready with a word of prayer? Yes, we should. Should we be ready with a word of encouragement and hope and kindness and correction? Yes, we should. Should we be ready with a word of action? Yes, we should. Should we be ready with a word of silence? Yes, we should. I want to encourage all of us to make specific plans for being prepared to meet specific needs. Make specific plans for being prepared to meet specific needs. What do I need to do to be better prepared to come to them before winter? If I'm going to come before winter, I can't procrastinate. That's easy for me. I like to procrastinate. I like to put it off. I leave at the last minute because I want to use my time wisely on this end, right? Maybe I'd do better to get there a little quicker before winter instead of waiting. So come before winter because people have specific needs in winter. Needs that God will enable you by His grace, by His Spirit, through faith to meet. Well, here's the second thing. Come before winter because you may be hindered by winter. That could be another reason that Paul was wanting Timothy to come on before winter, because he knew that when winter time came, Timothy may be hindered from travel and as a result might not be able to reach him. We read in Acts 27:12 about Paul on the ship, and they were on their way to Rome and they were trying to find a place to harbor for the winter because you didn't travel in the winter. We read several times in 1 Corinthians and Titus about Paul planning to spend the winter in Corinth one time and in Nicopolis another time. Why? Because winter was not a good time for traveling. We know that. Back in December we had a big snowstorm, about a foot. It was not conducive to travel. We had to cancel our meetings because it was winter. You know, the stormy times of life can cause a hindrance to us in reaching others. First of all, the winter may be so intense in their lives that we can't get to them. You ever seen somebody like that? They are under so much that you can't even get to them emotionally and spiritually. You might can get with them physically, maybe, but it's like they're not there. So we need to get there before winter to help prepare them. Or it may be, the other possibility is that winter may hit our lives so strongly that we aren't in a state of mind or spirit to reach out to others in need. If Timothy had tried to have gone through the storm, gone through the winter, he might have found himself waylaid and stranded somewhere in his travels. And if we're not wise, we might find ourselves in a situation where we're the ones in the winter and we're not able to reach out and to minister to others. So it's wise to be proactive in getting to people before winter. Can I ask you who God is putting on your heart as someone that needs you to come to them before winter? I want to encourage all of us to ask the Lord to impress on our hearts the names of people whose hearts He would have us make an impression on. Ask the Lord to impress on your heart the names of people on whose hearts He would have you make an impression. And again, I encourage you as I encourage myself, don't wait or procrastinate. You don't need to turn there for sake of time, but I'm going to close with Proverbs 6, 6 through 9. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? The Lord's asking me, Mark, when are you going to get up? When are you going to get up and go out and get there before winter? People need you. We need each other. We're all going to have those winter times. Might we be making an impression on the lives of others with a word? Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the seasons. Father, we have seasons that we enjoy more than others. Some folks here really like the winter time, and Father, others like the summer. Maybe the spring or the fall is our favorite, but Lord, You've sent them all, and we thank You for them. They all have their purposes, but Lord, tonight we're thinking about those who are going through a winter time, a stormy time of life, and we want to be prepared and ready and sensitive to try to get to them before winter. Before they get into that, Father, before they go into another winter season, or even when they're in the winter, Father, we pray that You would make it possible we could still get to them. Lord, we pray that in Your grace You will send people to us when we're going through the winter. Father, do that for us for Your glory, and we give You the glory and the thanks for the people who have been in our lives in the winter times. Father, may we be ready not just once to go, but to be ready for every winter season. May we be prepared. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thank You for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, who came to us and comes to us in the most difficult times of our lives and makes it possible that we can have communion with You. Thank You for the warmth that we receive from one another by the Holy Spirit and from Your Word. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the winter.